little bit of summary before we begin our last session. When we talked yesterday, we talked about communication. And one of the things we said about communication is we can't assume that communication has taken place just because we say something, right? So the speaker encodes with vocabulary and body language what they're saying, but the listener has to decode it for understanding to take place. So I've been talking a lot. I'm going to ask you what you've heard, okay? I want to give you a chance. Tell me some of the things that have stood out to you, maybe from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Some of the things that you got into your mind. What were some of the things that stand out from what we said? Okay, voluntary submission. Very good. Yes. Pardon? Permanence. Right, right. Yes, the prayer for each other. Help me see what you see. Help me feel what you feel. Help you love through me. That prayer? Yes. Right. 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 Very good. Very good. By the way, did anybody see the moon last night? How beautiful the moon was. And then we remember that we are supposed to reflect God's love in our lives. And the moon does not have a power source in itself, but it reflects the light of the sun. But it looks like it's a light, doesn't it? It was very bright last night. Is that right? I did not know that. Wow. Great. That's awesome. Yes. I told the men, I'll say this in front of the women, but I told the men yesterday that in Ephesians 5, it says that Christ gave himself up for the church, his bride, to make her radiant, is the word, radiant. And I said, when you men, husbands, are loving in the way that God loves, our wives will be radiant. And if our wives are not radiant, we need to look at ourselves and ask, what are we not doing? Because we have a role in helping our wife to be radiant. So, guys, I told on you. So now you have responsibility. Guys can't look at their wife and say, what's wrong with you? They have to look and say, what's wrong with me? What's happening in our marriage that my wife is not radiant? It's our responsibility. What else? Thank you. It's my favorite quote. It's because I said it so many times. Very good. The win-win. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. And if we find ourselves stonewalling or in contempt, we probably need to go ask for help. At that point, it's very difficult to get out of that by ourselves. God will help us, but we sometimes need the help of another person. Anything else? Yes, 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 yeah. Well, this has been a good time together. Thank you. And as long as we're still living, we're still learning, right? In marriage, we will learn all the way to the grave. We'll keep learning. Keep learning. My wife, Belinda's going to share some more thoughts here about marriage. Do you want this or do you just want to wait? Okay. And the microphone?
Like an airline pilot or something. It's so good to have been with you. It's a joy to get to share with you. You make us miss our friends in China and Macau. It's special to have a relationship with people who are a part of the body of Christ. We were talking at lunchtime and saying, you know, it's the same spirit. It's the same love that binds us together, and it's such a joy to be able to feel that and to participate in that and to experience that. It's not just an idea from the Bible. It's not just a theory. It is true. It is true when we are together in unity, and we can experience that love. And that's the same thing, the church, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, as the marriage, 1 + 1 = 1, that there's the possibility of that harmony and that unity in marriage as well, especially, well, I think the only way is with the help of the Holy Spirit. We were talking somewhere in the hallway and saying it's hard to do these things, and it is hard on our own. I remember especially a hard time that Gary and I had, and I said, I can't do this, but maybe I can let God love through me. I don't have that kind of love. I used to read the love chapter in Corinthians 13, and it used to be pressure for me and condemning for me. You know, love is patient. Well, I'm not always patient. Love is kind. Well, I'm not always kind. And it felt like I was a straight-A student in school, so, you know, perfection was what I was going for, but that's not really possible humanly for us. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can love like that. That's a picture of perfect love, what Gary was talking about. That's the ideal, that first circle. But He can help us love like that, and we can let God love through us. That's the only hope I have. Well, let's look at Ephesians. We've been looking there. We'll read it one more time. Does anybody need translation? If I talk too fast, please say stop, time out, and somebody help us. I actually love translation because it makes me slow down. And it helps me be understood. Ephesians 5:25-33. We read it yesterday, but let's read it again. And if someone would read it in Chinese, that would be good. Okay, again, we talked a little bit about yesterday, and Gary talked about this to the man, Husbands, love your wives continually. I think three times at least that's reiterated. Husbands, love your wives. It's obvious that wives need love, isn't it? And at the end it says, as each one of you love his wife as himself, let the wife see that she respects her husband. So there are two things we know that are needed at least in marriage, love and respect. And we talked a lot about respect with the women, but I wanted us to think a little bit about what are other needs? What are the basic needs that we have in life that we expect to get met? Just what you would give to your children or someone you're taking care of, what are the basic things we need? Food, water, shelter. Those are our basic needs, aren't they? But in life, we have other, what they call felt needs or emotional needs that we expect to get met. Do you know that it's not? As a husband and wife, we commit to help each other meet the basic needs, provide the food, the shelter, the clothing, the water that is needed. Excuse me. We do that together, and that's a beautiful thing about marriage. But the other needs, do you know that it's not our responsibility to meet our spouse's need? Have you ever heard anyone say that? I'm sorry. And how does that set with you? Do you know it's not your responsibility to meet your spouse's need? Have you ever heard of that? Let's name some of the needs then that we think that we have. Gary, do you mind writing them on the board? What are some things besides food, shelter, and water that we need? Communication. Communication. Hopefully good communication. What about the need to be validated? To be feel important? The need to feel valued. Good. Needed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And appreciated.
Yeah. Encouragement. That's a good one. Acceptance.
How about successful? Anything else that you can think of? Okay, does represent those. Maybe financial needs or financial. Oh, that might help. Thank you. So what do you, and there's one more that women kind of maybe need more than men. I need to feel connected. It goes with communication, but it's a little bit maybe deeper than that. I remember early in the days of marriage, back when people read a newspaper. Does anybody read a newspaper now? Gary would come home, and the first thing he would do was come into the living room and sit down with the newspaper. And, of course, I have four small children running around and no adult to talk to all day, so I'm talking to him. And he's behind the newspaper. And pretty soon I ask a question. and he doesn't respond. And I go, one day I got so, frustrated is a good word, that I just went over and I sat down right on top of the newspaper. Communication. It's not just one way, is it? So we need to feel connected. We need to feel like we're important to one another, like we're valued, that we're somebody sees us and somebody hears us. That's really, really important to us, to be seen and to be heard. Well, let's turn a corner. What happens if we're single? We still have the same needs, right? Whether we're single by choice or single by death or single because we've been abandoned or whatever, we still have the same needs, don't we? What do we do in that case? God did say in Ephesians, in Genesis, we looked at it the first time, he gave the desire of the wife for her husband, didn't he? So that's a God-given desire. What happens if I expect Gary to meet all my needs? Do you think he can? Well, good. He's pretty special, but no. No, there's a really good book that was helpful to us, besides the Bible, called His Needs, Her Needs. I don't know if you've ever read that or not, but it identified the needs that women, that are common, felt needs to men and women. And all the way through the book, it talks about the needs, the different ones, some that we've listed on the board, and then where to rate them and to write down our needs. And then we're to exchange papers. And he carried a list of my needs in his wallet for years. I found it, not too long ago. And I made the list. I carried it for a while. That was a purse, not a wallet. They're harder to keep up with, and you change them. And I wasn't as good at keeping up with that. The problem, I think, is when we expect our mate to meet all of our needs, we're open to frustration. Do you know what unmet expectations are? Always result in disappointment and frustration. So we're really kind of setting each other up to fail and be disappointed. But when we stand across from each other on that ideal wedding day, we promise to love and to honor and to cherish, and we get started pretty good. So we do, even though we say we don't expect them to, we do kind of expect them to, don't we? Don't you expect your husband or your wife to notice you? Don't we expect them to participate with us in communication? Even though we know that they can't do it, we do kind of expect it anyway, don't we? And then we get frustrated because there's no way that can happen. There is no way that can happen. I don't know how many years it took to get that through my head, because I'm an incurable romantic. I was sure that love never had to say you're sorry, or that I didn't have to tell Gary what I needed. He would know. If he really loved me, wouldn't he just know what I needed? She's like, that's ridiculous. No. He's like, no, I can't read your mind. But I don't know where I got that idea. I guess when I was a little girl, I read a lot of fairy tales. So we'll just blame it on Disney, or Grimm's. But I really did think that if he really loved me, he would meet my needs. And he would know what they were. Well, I think I was onto the fact that, even though I didn't know the Bible at that time, there is someone who can meet our needs. And he tells us that over and over. But when we expect one another to meet those needs, to be our all in all, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment and failure, and we're setting them up to fail as well, and vice versa. So if we would look to a different place to get those needs met, then we would be, we might as well let them off the hook, because we're going to fail each other. So we might as well just let go of that. And we can say yes to that here and now in this setting, but when you go home, test that out and just think, am I frustrated? Well, what am I expecting? Am I expecting her to meet my needs, or am I expecting him to meet my needs? Is that realistic? You know, why am I doing that? Do you know Will Smith? He's an actor, a funny guy. Some of it appropriate, some of it not appropriate. But he said, I remember the day I retired. I retired from trying to make Jada, his wife, happy. He just told her, I'm done with it. I'm done trying to make you happy. Why don't you try to make you happy? And let's just see if it's really possible. But, you know, I don't think we can make our own selves happy. We can choose. I was in the bathroom with my granddaughter, and she's screaming her head off. So if you heard her, I apologize. She's like, Nan, I don't want to make you to make me do what I don't want to do. And I'm like, I don't want to control you. You have a choice. You either go to the bathroom or I'm taking the water gun. So we have a choice in our happiness. We are the only ones that can choose to be happy and to be content. The Bible talks about that too, to be content in whatever state that we're in. But sometimes we don't want to make that choice. We want to, like Evelyn, you know, we want to blame it on the other person. And she's like, no, Nana, you made me upset. No, I didn't make you upset. You chose not to come in here. You chose not to sit on the toilet. That made you upset, not me. But we want to blame the other, from that age, I mean, from early on, it's your fault I'm upset. Well, it's not. You're making a choice. You're choosing. We have emotions, yes, and we should feel them, and they tell us things about what's going on in our hearts. But we choose whether we're going to be happy about that or upset about that, whether we're going to do something about it or not do something about it. I had an incredible, well, let me tell you one more thing first. Let's look at Matthew 6:8. We have a choice to make. We can either turn to our mate and expect them to meet all of our needs, or our parents, or our friends, or Matthew 6:8 says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. There it is. There is that idea. But there's only one person who knows what we need before we ask, before we even ask. And that's our Father in heaven. So that would be the best place to go, wouldn't it? To someone who knows us better than we know ourselves and knows what we ask, what we need before we ask it. One more scripture, Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply, what? Every need of yours, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply our every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He signed up for that. We didn't sign up for that with each other. He signed up for that. And if we try to get those needs met somewhere else, we're just going to be frustrated and frustrate one another. Gary's father died. Some of you met Ruthie. I think she came out one time, Gary's mother, to visit with you here. Yeah. She, at 78 years old, her husband of 50-some years died. And she was very lonely. And I'm very sad, of course, very grief-stricken. And she lived with us, and I watched her apply this literally day by day. Here's the scripture that she clung to, Psalm 143:8. Every morning she looked at this verse, and she said it, Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, God's unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. I saw her shift her dependence from her earthly husband to her heavenly father. Now, she depended on God before, but this is to a whole different level, ladies. If you can imagine being with someone, how long have you guys been married? 59 years. 59 years. That's like you losing your right arm or your left arm. You can't remember when you didn't have that person. She was very, very sad. Of course she had depended on him to meet some of her needs. Of course. But I saw her shift that dependence from her earthly husband, who was now gone and not possible to meet any of those needs in any way, shape, or form, to her heavenly father. And I saw him do that. I saw God supply for her every need, every day. And every day she went before him with this scripture, lifting her soul to him alone. Now, she lived with us, and of course we met some of those needs, but we were going to fail her. Gary could not be her companion. He could be her beloved son and doting son and adoring son, but not her companion. But she did find a companion in God, even closer than she ever had before. And that was just, it spoke volumes to me. It's good to see someone go before you and to know that it really is possible. It really is a relationship that lasts forever until eternity. And you're not parted at death from Christ, because then you go right on to eternity with him. There is no separation there. So if we can remember that in our daily walks here with each other, that yeah, we're walking this life together right now, arm in arm, and we're doing all that we can to work together to take care of our families and love those around us and do the work that God gave us to do, but ultimately not look to our spouse to meet those needs every day. We'll have less frustration together and more dependency on God even before that time comes when he will be our total dependent, our all in all. And I know we like to sing that, but I think we don't have any idea until that day comes and he really is our all in all. Just like we don't have any idea when we get married and say, I promise to love you and honor you. It's a different relationship, and we can only experience it as we walk through it and to it. So that has been, I hope that you learn it before I did. It was hard for me to think that he couldn't meet my needs. That was just hard for me. So I hope that you get there before then. It was a new idea for me, a new paradigm shift. I had to actually, Beth Moore talks about replacing a lie that we believe with the truth. So over and over in my head, somewhere I had put in that lie that someone else could make me happy and someone else could meet my need. Well, I was right about if you're talking about God, but not if you're talking about someone earthly. So my prayer for you is that you will know that God is the one that ultimately meets our needs, although we are in relationship and in oneness with our spouse in marriage, and can be his instrument together in that way. But ultimately, he is the one. So I think that when
I... So one final thought with that, and then we'll pray together. Is in the garden that we talked about Sunday. Do you remember what God said to Adam when he came and Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit? Yeah, first of all, he said, where are you? And then when he saw them hiding, he said to Adam, what? Yeah, you listened to your wife, and you ate the fruit. There's only one other person. But here's the point that goes exactly what Wanda is saying. Adam said to God then, the woman you gave me offered me the fruit, and I ate it. Adam was never supposed to get his needs met by his wife. God was supposed to meet his needs. And if Adam would listen to what God was saying and trust God, he would have had a perfect life. And in the same way, in our marriage, the other person cannot meet all of our needs. I think God does want us to listen to our wives. But he wants us to trust in him to meet our needs. So many times when we were the most frustrated with each other, I would say to God, God, you know my needs. I'm looking to you to meet my needs. You can meet them through Belinda. I would like that. You can meet them in other ways, or you can teach me to wait. But it's up to you. Like you, I'm appealing to you. If I go to my wife and I try to make her meet my needs, that's not going to work. If I go to my wife and I try to lead her into a place that's actually going to make her feel frustrated or hurt, that's not going to work. So God, I appeal to you. And if you think these needs are true and real, you can meet them. If you think I'm imagining them or making them up, or that I should be able to be more patient and wait longer, then you can decide. Because you're God, and I'm your child. So, here I am. I'm looking to you, I'm trusting you. Otherwise, I'm frustrated toward her. And this is vice versa. So, this is the truth we wanted to leave you with, because we're going to fail each other. That as we go out of the room today, we'll say, we're going to fail each other. But we need forgiveness and we need grace, right? And then we look to our Heavenly Father to meet our needs. Someday our spouse, we hope this doesn't happen, but someday our spouse might be an invalid. Maybe our spouse is in the hospital and unable to meet our needs. It's not like at that point they're not worth anything to us. They're still our spouse. We love them. God is the one who has to meet our needs. And this is why marriage, we believe, can be permanent. Because if marriage is just an agreement between two people who can meet each other's needs, at some point that's not going to work anyway. That at some point, age and other kinds of things will take their place, and that ability to meet each other's needs is going to fail. It's bound to fail. But this will never fail. God will never fail his children. And if that's where our source of strength is, then we can serve each other with love. And we don't have to expect the other person to meet needs they can't meet. Sometimes we are in our marriages, one of the things that we learned is, I was expecting Belinda to be able to do things and know things and be things in our relationship that she was never prepared to do by her family of origin. Her family of origin didn't teach her how to do certain things. She never learned those things. We had to learn them together. If I'm just expecting her to understand, or I'm expecting her to do these other things, and she's never learned them, it's impossible, and I'm frustrated. So we learn them together, and then the Holy Spirit helps us, and in the process, we actually have love. And that's our hope and prayer for you. So we want to pray for you. You want to stand, and we'll both offer a prayer here, all right? So I'm going to pray for the husbands, and Bond is going to pray for the wives. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the husbands in this room. I thank you that you've made men like you did, that you are wise when you made men the way you did. But you're also wise when you made women the way that you did. So I pray for men to trust your good judgment, that women are not like men, and to believe that's a good thing. I pray, Father, when we don't have our needs met, that we can turn to you and say, God, is this really a need? If it is, I pray that you'll meet it somehow in the best way possible. And then I pray also for every husband here that we will also say, and God, would you work through me to reveal your love to my wife? I allow you to tell me if I'm doing anything I should not be doing. As David prayed, search me and try me and know my ways. So Lord, examine our hearts. Reveal to us if there are better ways to do things, better ways to say things. Reveal to us if we need forgiveness from our spouse or we need to offer forgiveness. Reveal to us if we need grace or to offer grace. And Jesus, I pray that you will be seen in our relationship because you said about your church, husbands and wives, that we are your bride. So when the world looks at us, they're supposed to see you. If that's not true, and if the bride isn't radiant, then show us how to get there. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name and ask for Jesus' power as we pray.
Be respectful of our husbands, Lord. I pray that you would prompt us, that your Holy Spirit would convict us in times when we're not, even before someone else has to correct us. That we feel your Spirit's prompting to give respect, not because of what someone is doing or what they say, but because of who they are, because he is your beloved son, and that we are committed and that we want to demonstrate that love through respecting, Lord. Thank you that you give us one another to be better together, Lord. We know that we can be, like we talked about the very first day, Lord, we can be different together. We can be one another's advocates. We could be one another's best friend. We could be one another's strength and encouragement, Lord, to be all that we can be together, a new creation, Lord, that you can use to bless others and to encourage others and to spur others on to love and good deeds. God, we do want to be better together than any of one of us can be on our own. I pray you would help us to be humble and patient in that, Lord, with one another and with ourselves. God, help us to favor the other above ourselves and to make the choice to be happy and be content in the state that we are in and not frustrated. God, I pray that we would lay our lives before you just as women sacrifice themselves and their bodies for children, Lord. I pray that we would be willing to lay down our lives for our husbands as well, God. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one that can empower and make this happen through us. We cannot do it on our own. And God, I pray that we would have take opportunity now to pray together as husband and wife. For those that are here, I pray that we would just take a few minutes to pray together and to pray for one another, that we might be better together.
So we want to invite you now to stand. If you're husband and wife here today, then why don't you stand? And the way we're going to end is just giving you time to pray together, okay? So if you want to stand and just kind of face each other, we're going to give you a few moments of quiet and silence. Whenever you're done, you can go ahead and leave. But we want to give you the chance to pray together if you're husband and wife today, okay? And that'll be how we end. And Michael, we'll do the five gears another time. So let's stand together. And
if your husband or wife is not here and you want to pray with a sister or a brother,
sure.